24, bring mich höher auf die Berge. Als nächstes, das macht das so froh ich kann sein. Das macht das so froh ich kann sein.
Das macht das so froh ich kann sein. Es kommt rein, mein Gott, und holt mich an.
Das macht das so froh ich kann sein. Das macht das Blut des Lammes reinigt uns.
Das Blut des Lammes reinigt uns. Das Blut des Lammes reinigt uns. Das Blut des Lammes reinigt uns und schafft alles neu.
Dass die Lieblichkeit Jesu man sehe an mir.
Dass die Lieblichkeit Jesu man sehe an mir. Seine heilige Reinheit und Kreuze zieh. O du Gottes Gewalt in mir, Christus Gestalt bist in Lieblichkeit Jesu man seh an mir. Dass die Lieblichkeit Jesu man seh an mir. Meine heilige Reinheit und Freude.
Noch, dies ist der Tag. Amen. Nein, das macht das so froh.
Dies ist der Tag, ja?
Ja, 48.
Ja. Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, der Herr gemacht, der Herr gemacht. Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag, den der Herr lassen uns froh und dankbar sein. Lassen das Wort und den Geist hinein. Dies ist der Tag, dies ist der Tag.
Praise and thanks be unto the Lord our God for his faithfulness, for his grace, for his word, for everything what he already has given us, and also for that what he prepared for us today. Be welcome in the precious name of our Lord. May I ask who is here today for the first time? Do we have someone? Please stand up. Who is here today for the first time? This is tremendous. God bless you. We hope it is not for the last time. God bless you. God bless. Very nice. Yes. God bless you all. Very nice. Brother Di Prossimo from Liège brought the whole assembly with him, 7 cars, to be here today. Just so nice. Just so nice. That we can come under the sound of the word. Then we have our friends from Slovakia, who came with a bus, friends from Romania, more than 15 people, friends from Sweden, friends and brothers from all over Europe. And we're just so grateful also for all our ministering brethren. Then we have one brother here from Atlanta, Georgia. Is he here?
Would you please stand? Yes. Herzlich willkommen, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.
And as already said, all the brothers and all the sisters, be it from the Czech Republic, from everywhere, time and again, welcome. Brother Schmidt laid here a slip of paper with greetings from Moldavia. Greetings from Uzbekistan, greetings from the Ukraine. And for me, just something wonderful when I hear that our brothers and sisters, also in the former Eastern Bloc states, today, of course, everything is almost a united Europe, that they there can see and hear and experience with us. Is this not wonderful that God opened the borders? Many decades ago, Brother Branham said, when the division of Germany is over, and when the wall comes down in eastern Berlin, then it will be as it was in the Roman Empire. We all notice, we have the Roman treaties, 50 years have passed. We all understood what time it is, that we not only are living in the end time, but that we arrived at the end of the end time. Brother Branham also spoke about it, the uniting time and sign. And we see it also in our time. Everything is uniting. Economy, everything is uniting. And as we were writing, everything in one hand. Everything in one hand. But the Lord God, he will have the victory. Although we have to wait a bit. But yes, we are counting in our time with the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Yes, we are counting with it. And we believe what the Lord said, that we shall see it on the signs of the time. And this is as the handwriting on the wall in the days of Daniel. The handwriting was on the wall. But it has to be read. It has to be understood by his grace. Then we have also our friends here, once again, as we said yesterday already, from South America. We have already called the three brothers, and then we have one more brother from Angola. I don't know where he is sitting right now. Yes, we are just so grateful for all the brothers, brethren of the Portuguese language, and we are grateful for our brother Helmut Miskis and his brother Claudio Miskis, who of course were both born in Brazil, who know the language and who can contribute or who are mainly responsible for that also the looking after in the Portuguese language can take place. God bless our brother Helmut Miskis in a special way. We also thank our brother Erwin Pacheco with all our hearts for the translation into the Spanish language. We thank all our brothers, 12 in number, who are sitting there up in their boxes and who are translating so that worldwide the looking after can take place and so that all the people worldwide can hear what God has prepared for us in this time. And what he has to say to us. We are gathered in his name to hear his word, to receive correction, to let us be brought into agreement with him and his word. Once again, be welcome. And we are also greeting from this place today all our brothers and sisters who are now listening all over Europe and in all of the world. Phone calls came already this morning from Johannesburg, from Kinshasa, from the Ivory Coast. Phone calls came from here and from there and from everywhere. We are just so grateful. Yes, from Chile. Yes, we are very, very grateful for the opportunity which God has given us to be connected with all of the world. That means with the believers all over the earth, so that all are brought into lockstep, that all receive the same teaching. And by this, the bride church can really become one heart and one soul. And that we together can experience worldwide the final mighty move of God by his grace. I believe you all agree, if our brothers would at least give the greetings, they all brought greetings with them. And I'm asking now Brother Helmut Miskis to come with the three brothers. Perhaps the brother from Angola comes also. Please, no sermon, just three sentences. Greetings, and you are coming now all. We want to respect the brothers, and we are glad that they can serve the Lord.
Glaube nur, Glaube nur, Glaube nur.
Let me read a word from Revelation 22. Revelation 22 from verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Great God, we are thanking you with all our heart for your holy word. You are the one who spoke at the beginning. You are the one who speaks now at the end. We thank thee that we may be gathered in thy name, and that we can belong to those who were justified by faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, and were sanctified in the truth, and wish to be still sanctified in the truth until we come to perfection. Please be now present in a special way today. Speak to us and to all of your church all over the earth. To you, the Almighty God, we say thanks for everything. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You may be seated. It's really a privilege that we can come together so undisturbed to hear the word, to receive teaching, and to time and again be blessed. From Philippians, I would like to read just briefly Philippians chapter 3 to show us that the time has come to walk our way goal-orientated. That means to have the goal before our eyes. We all know where we belong. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, and then verse 14. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Are you apprehended of him? Did his word speak to you? Did you hear his call? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest for your soul. And then the wonderful confession: I forget what is behind me, and reaching forth unto those things which are before me. Now the emphasis toward the goal, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is a heavenly, a divine calling which was addressed to us, and whoever receives it confirms by it to have been chosen from before the foundation of the world. He confirms with it the adoption as sons, to have received it by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As Paul has written in Galatians 4, verse 4, and other places. Then in verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. We want to have our mind, our eyes fixed on the goal. Then, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. We are of course coming from various denominations and fellowships, churches, and everybody brings something with him still. But then comes the moment where we have to put off what is not in agreement with God and his word. Then comes the moment where the teaching is addressed to us and where we truly are brought back to the beginning. And asking always the same question, as Paul asked it in Romans 3 verse 4, what does the scripture say? What does the scripture say? Therein everything is embedded. What does the scripture say about the end time? What does the scripture say about the condition of the church? What does the scripture say in reference to Israel? What does the scripture say? What does the scripture say? Here, at this place, the scripture is not being interpreted. Here, the scripture is being read in the original, and it is being believed as it is written. And this is the privilege which God has given us, to have the reverence before his word, to accept it the way it was addressed to us. Yesterday we spoke about that God placed ministries into the church. He had ministries in Israel, who had a significance in the plan of salvation. And just to come briefly back to Moses, it was of course God himself who gave the promise to Abraham. Genesis 15, verse 13, after 400 years, I will lead you out from bondage. The time was past, and God revealed himself in a supernatural way in the thorn bush to his servant and prophet Moses, who was feeding the flock of his father-in-law. Brothers and sisters, and God spoke, I have seen the misery of my people. I've heard their cry. I remember the promise which I have made. And Moses was ordained to bring this promise to reality, to put it into practice, a ministry in connection with the fulfillment of that what God promised. Then we were reading that Moses, by the commission of God, laid hands on Joshua, commissioning him to carry on the ministry. And as God was with Moses at the leading out, so he was with Joshua at the going in and at the distribution of the promised land. Every tribe received its region, all knew where their borders are, all knew where they belong. 12 tribes of Israel, 12 apostles. And whoever reads about the New Jerusalem in Revelation 21, the New Jerusalem has 12 pillars. The New Jerusalem has 12 gates. And on the ones are written the names of the 12 apostles, and on the others are written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Israel, the elect of Israel and the elect of the church, they belong together. And already at the resurrection of our Lord, of course, according to Matthew 27, all the saints who will have part in the first resurrection from the period of the Old Testament, they rose together with Christ. That's how it is written. And they appeared to many in the holy city. And now, at the completion of the New Testament church from all peoples, tongues, and nations, comes the rapture, and then is fulfilled that together with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, together with all the perfected saints who believed God and who respected God's word, with them we will celebrate the great supper in glory. In Matthew 22, we read of the supper which the king prepared for the son, and he sends out servants to invite. In Matthew 25, we read then of the supper, that all who were ready, that they went in to the marriage supper, and the door was closed. Such things do not have to be explained. They're happening as God said it in His Word. Also about that, what is going on within the church now. One really doesn't need an eighth messenger. One doesn't need anyone who presents himself and says, now I'm here and I fulfill Matthew 25 from verse 6. Irrespective that time and again brothers are coming on the scene with the doctrines which bring confusion with them, it just has to be said now. Whoever is of God will have the discernment whether that what is being said is really in agreement with what is written. And also then one has to go again from scripture to scripture, illuminating everything so that we can preach the word in balance and that we also remain in balance so that the Lord can lead and guide us until the end, until we really come from believing unto seeing. I mentioned it yesterday, what kind of doctrines are presented also in the end time message. It is just incomprehensible that people are are not regarding God's word at all, but are presenting their special revelations. And then, from this place, we have to say, only what is written is God's word. And if, for instance, it was said about the seven thunders, write them not, but seal what they uttered, then I have respect for this. Then I know God decided it this way, and by this it remains. But if then a brother stands before me and says, you don't believe the message, and I answer him, but I preach it all over the earth. And then he says, no, this you are not doing, because the message are the seven thunders. And when I asked this beloved brother, you all know it was in Johannesburg, when I asked this beloved brother, what are the seven thunders? His answer was, it's a revelation. When I asked him, what is the revelation? Then he said, it's a mystery. And also, you all know it. I left my cup of tea and I said, please, to that brother, please bring me back to my hotel. I say it openly now. I don't mean this brother now. I say it now in general. People are confused in the head, in the heart, and in the doctrine. It's just so important that we respect God's word and not going beyond what is really written. And then just recently one brother told me, it's also about the seven thunders, which sounded just before the seven seals were about to be opened. And this is true. And this we must differentiate. It truly happened on the 28th of February, 1963. Before the opening of the seals, that Brother Branham, upon the command of the Lord, that he went into the mountains. And there it happened that seven tremendous thunders shook all the region. And Brother Branham looked up and he saw the formation of the supernatural cloud. And there he was told that he should return to Jeffersonville, because the seven seals are going to be opened. And with this we are happy. To this we say amen. There's no need of an explanation to it. No explanation is needed. This we believe, that he was the promised prophet of God for this time, through whom the Lord revealed the mysteries from Genesis up to Revelation 22. But let us leave it this way, as God did it, as God decided it, let us leave it. Are you happy with it? Do you agree with it? Nothing needs to be interpreted. It just happened in the same way with the interruption, which is time and again given concerning the other teaching points, with the return of Jesus Christ. Only two times Brother Branham brought the shout of 1 Thessalonians 4 into connection with the end time message, that the end time message is the shout. The more than 200 times where Brother Branham very clearly spoke about what the message is, what it contains, and that it, since the Lord gave the commission, since that As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message which will forerun the second coming of Christ. The more than 200 statements of Brother Branham are not regarded. Only two are used. And in connection with this, it is being claimed the Lord is descending since the message went forth. And he is in the process of descending. And this is not right at all. But here comes the point. This is being done with the intention, that we or all the world shall not come to know that the message only after the going home of Brother Branham was carried into all the world. And this the gentlemen don't like, and therefore they have to connect the message to the direct coming of the Lord. And they don't respect that since the going home of Brother Branham, the message was carried into all the world. And that the calling out and preparation of the bride church is taking place. Always when the enemy gives a interpretation, then with a certain intention to question what God is doing, to bring it into doubt, and to keep mankind away from it. I'm not speaking of myself. I, of course, have nothing to do with this matter. A calling is God's matter. No man decides it. There we have nothing to say in it. We all know Brother Branham made 7 international missionary journeys. During all of his time, he visited exactly 12 countries. And in his time, the message was not so much known. Mostly, it were evangelistic meetings, teaching meetings, healing meetings. Only after his going home, it really happened that the word could be carried into all the world. God just decided it this way, and this we have to respect the same way. What actually hurts also very much is that one causes splits about the 70 weeks of Daniel without respecting the word, without understanding that they have nothing to do with us as the church. And there, I would like to read you just a few scriptures so that you know that it is written like this in the Word of God, because I'm aware of that on the earth are many opinions present, and therefore it must also be said, Daniel 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined, Daniel 9:24, upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. And then the sixfold purpose is listed, point after point, up to the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Not to the founding of the New Testament church. And then the weeks are listed. It cannot be said more clearly. And what we all also have to know is why it happened this way. And to this, I would like to read you from the Old Testament. Firstly, from Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 36, 2 Chronicles 36, from verse 19, 2 Chronicles 36, from verse 19, and they burned the house of God, and break down the wall of Jerusalem and burned all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the godly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until, and now it comes, until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. Up to then, it was the Babylonian Empire, but now the Persian Empire started. Up to this, it should remain like this. And now, listen closely. In verse 21, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. Always when the time is fulfilled, then it happens. And now comes the reason. Until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath years. Enjoyed her Sabbath years. And then it continues. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. You can read it. Ezra, chapter 1, verse 1, is the fulfillment. Black on white, it's written. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. So, we see very clearly, time and again, only fulfillment of Scripture. And again, fulfillment of Scripture. And then we have in Leviticus, in chapter 25, please be patient now. It's about all the brothers worldwide who are overseers of local assemblies and who have to teach the word correctly. Here in Leviticus, in chapter 25, we are told in verse 4 the following. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of the harvest, thou shalt not reap. And it says, it shall be a Sabbath year. And now the question, why a Sabbath year? Why? 7 times 7. And after the 7 Sabbath years came the great reconciliation day, the year of Jubilee. The 50th year was the year of Jubilee. And God already in the Old Testament spoke to us by shadows. And he showed with Israel what he wanted to do. Here, in Leviticus 25, in verse 8, it says, and thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. And then after the 49 years comes the 50th year, and this is the year of Jubilee, where all could go and be released. That's how it is written here. In verse 10, and ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. And because the people of Israel were disobedient unto God, they kept the Sabbath, yes. This was the seventh day of the week. But they should keep the seventh year and not sowing, but have rest, having rest and experience that God nevertheless takes care of them, that of its own there would be enough for them, not just one day in a week, but the seventh year should be a Sabbath year, a year of rest. And why? To, after 7 times 7, proclaim the 50th year, that all who were in debt could go out free. And then we see our Lord in Luke 4, how he proclaims the acceptable year of the Lord, and who proclaims liberty to all the suppressed, all who were suppressed by the enemy, all who were in debt, them he proclaimed liberty. So, if one speaks about a Bible subject, then one has to take everything what goes with it. Now, concerning the 70 years of Daniel in the last time period, so we have it here, we have it black on white, it's written that the transgression will finish. As it is written here, I read Daniel 9, verse 27. Daniel 9, 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. This doesn't apply for the church. This applies for Israel. When the covenant will be broken, and then the desolation will be poured upon the desolate. And then one has to go to Matthew 24, where the Lord spoke about what will happen with Israel. Here we have it. Matthew 24, from verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. So we see very clearly where everything belongs. And I say once again, brothers and sisters, in this connection, as God placed the ministries of the prophets, so he placed the ministries of the church in order. One just has to respect it. When Paul started his ministry, then of course the ministry of Peter didn't stop. And when John was on the Isle of Patmos, not all the others didn't lose their ministries. One ministry was supplementing the other ministry. And every ministry has included a certain area. And therefore it is written in Ephesians chapter 4, that the 5 ministries were set into the church so that the saints are perfected. Not only one ministry, more ministries were set. And Paul was then that man who mainly emphasized what concerned splits and false doctrines. There he really was very serious with the people. He couldn't stand false doctrines. And brothers and sisters, believe me, I cannot stand them. I cannot stand them. It's something strange, which doesn't belong into the church. and something strange is something disturbing. And not only disturbing, but it's destroying. And this we don't need. The church must experience a divine healing and must be sanctified in the word of truth. Here, especially in Titus, in Timothy, Paul spoke about, time and again, about the true doctrine, and he defended it here in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, here Paul writes in Titus 3, verse 10, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. So, let us keep it in mind. This is the description of those who cause splits by strange doctrines. And then we are really given the divine commission by God to preach the true doctrine, the true word. And God watches over his word. He watches over them who preach his word. And he watches over the church which received his word with all their heart, and who believe it with all their hearts. And if we want to know it precisely, I mentioned it recently in Zurich, such people who are causing splits are rejecting then the true servants of God. This is the direct mark. There are two things which are not compatible. It's impossible. And therefore, brothers and sisters, let me also give you the warning which the Apostle John wrote down also at this place. Let me give you the warning to all brothers and sisters worldwide and also to us. 3 John, verse 1. 3 John, verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Very nice. The true love of God. This is that man who spoke about the love, probably more than all the others together. Then he continues, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. May it be with us like this, that it is well with our soul, that our soul only receives the divine seed, that not two different kind of seeds are sown in one heart. And you all know, according to Matthew 13, the enemy, when the people slept, he went unto the same field, and he sowed his seed when the people slept. Let us watch. Let us pray. Let us take heed that we are hearing what God's word says and not are hearing what people have to say. And then, verse 3, For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. I like this. Because of thy truth. That God is true, this we know. But here, of thy truth. Here, the mind of Christ, the nature of Jesus Christ, a true man of God. Because of thy truth. even as thou walkest in the truth, not in the interpretations, walkest in the truth. Then in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Just say amen. A greater joy cannot exist for a carrier of the word than the joy that all who hear the word, that they remain in the word, that they remain in the truth and are walking in it and are being found in it. Then he continues and writes, and he comes then to verse 9. And in verse 9, we see the attitude of those who turn away and their deeds. Here in 3 John, verse 9, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Yes. What is this now? The greatest man of God of this time. Whether Paul was still alive at that time, I don't know. It is being said that John wrote the book of Revelation around the year 96. I don't know it. In any case, he says here, I the elder, send my greetings. Now listen, dear brothers and sisters, precious friends all over the earth. The beloved disciple of Jesus, that brother, our brother John, who laid at the breast of the Lord as no other, who was called and counted worthy by God to be banned unto the Isle of Patmos, to leave unto us the 22 chapters of the book of Revelation, to finally show us the plan of salvation of our God. That man who was counted worthy of by God in such a way, to him the door has been closed, because a man wanted to be the first in the church. And he just said, no, him we don't receive. Who are these people who act in such a way? They are perverse in their heart, perverse in their doctrine, perverse in their doings. The great man of God. You all know, I was on the Isle of Patmos. I read the 22 chapters. I spent 1982 one week there to read the book of Revelation. I went up and down, and time and again I said to the Lord, dear Lord, I'm not Paul, I'm not John, but one request I have. I'm also not Brother Branham, but one request I have. Reveal unto me what you showed John at that time. Reveal it to me. I went up and down, weeping on the Isle of Patmos. With the Bible in my hand, I come back to this word now. Beloved brothers and sisters, John, the beloved disciple of Jesus, counted worthy by God to be entrusted with such a commission on the Isle of Patmos. The angel of the Lord comes to him to reveal unto him what is for all the servants of God, to really show the church ages, everything what would still happen and what has happened, to show it, to leave it unto us so that we have it. And there's someone who wants to be the first in the church. And John writes, he receiveth us not. He receiveth us not. And not enough like this. In verse 10, wherefore If I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, talking nonsense against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. I was reading from the Bible. From the Bible. Brothers and sisters, we are living in the same time. The same is happening. Nothing but evil suspicions. Nothing but slander. And then the door is closed. Then one doesn't need us anymore. Then one wants to have the rule and to decide over the people. And here's the point. No servant of God rules over the church. God rules over him. And the Lord is the head of the church. And all are submissive to the head. That what we are reading here is happening today worldwide. All the brothers who come on the scene with their own interpretations and doctrines, they are closing the door. They are closing the door. They want to remain undisturbed, and they want to rule over the people. And this is the same spirit which already started with the Christianization under Constantine, that just the earthly and spiritual power is uniting to rule the people, to decide over them, and to lead them astray. So, let us take here to heart what is written. We cannot change it. And then, in verse 11, John writes, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God." So, whoever is of God and whoever submits to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and for instance, who received himself a ministry from God, he will respect the ministry of other servants of God. You all know, when I heard Brother Branham for the first time, I was convinced that he is a man of God. But I wanted to know what he believes and what he teaches. And I say it very clearly. Brother Branham preached every sermon from the Bible. And every sermon brought us back to the Bible. And we thank God for how he truthfully preached the word. But just to make the comparison once again, let it be shown to us here. John, the beloved disciple of Jesus, who looked up to the cross, and the Lord says, "Here is your mother. Here is your son." He hands over Mary to John, a well-beloved disciple of Jesus on the Isle of Patmos. He receives the last revelations. And then the door is closed because some Diotrephes wants to be the first man. And this is the case. This is the case in the message worldwide. Everywhere are self-appointed men who have no divine call, who just use the message of the hour. And I say it also today. I say it freely and openly. I'm, of course, not paid by them. I say it openly here. As the first thing, they establish themselves as pastors. And then they find the quote from the mouth of Brother Branham. The tithe is for the pastor. And then all have to put their tithe not into the offering box, but they have to give it to the pastor. And then the wife of the pastor goes with her shopping bag and pours all the tithes into it. I watched it. I'm not speaking of theory. I watched it. And then, yes, I also stayed at the pastor's house. I watched it, how everything is being done. And people are enslaved and don't know it, and are being separated from the true proclamation which God has given to his people in this time. John had to endure it. I also have to endure it. But this I'm telling you already today. Until the end, it will not remain like this. The Lord will help his people. He will lead them out. He will place them under the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then is being fulfilled what Paul has written to the Romans. Romans chapter 15, verse 16. Romans 15, verse 16. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. This is the purpose of a ministry which God placed into the church. Verse 17. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me. Is this not nice? Not I, Paul, have done this or that, but Christ did it by me. He could use me as his tool. He could use my lips to pass on his word. He could use my hands that they are laid upon the sick so that they receive healing. I will not glory, but I will just say, as it is, Christ did it by me. To make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. That's what it's all about. Only by the way of faith and obedience we shall reach the destination. And this is the purpose of the end time message which God has given us by his grace. That at the end is a church without spot and without wrinkle, that it appears before the Lord, as written in Ephesians 5, verse 27. A blood-bought flock, sanctified in the word of truth, sealed by the Holy Spirit, after we received the word of truth. And how did Brother Branham say so nicely? When God puts the seal upon us, then that is being sealed what he laid into us. And nothing else can be laid into it. And by this, it must be now. Brothers and sisters, it is not only about me, it is about you. It is about the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide. No mixing anymore. Nothing anymore what cannot stand before God. Also no interpretations about the 70 weeks and about the return of the Lord, about Matthew 24. Just leave everything as it is written. And let everything be fulfilled as God said it. I'm of course not watching over His word. He is watching over His word. He watches over His word. And because I received His word, therefore He watches also over me. And if you received His word, then He watches also over you. And then there's no trouble anymore. Then you can place the ministry of Moses, the ministry of Joshua, of all the prophets, you can place them biblically. The ministry of John the Baptist, you can place it biblically. The ministry of Peter, the man of the first hour, you can place it biblically. Who was counted worthy on the day of Pentecost, on the founding day of the New Testament, he was found worthy to preach the first sermon with the words, repent, be converted, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the confirmation of the forgiveness of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And behold, the impact by the power of the Holy Spirit was so tremendous that 3,000 people were added at the first sermon, at the first baptism. That's how it is written in Acts 2, verse 41. Brothers and sisters, this has to be said in every service. As the first sermon was, so the last one must be. Also the one before the last. So every sermon must be under the leading of the Holy Spirit. There is no other gospel. There are only people who twisted the gospel. And Paul, in Galatians 1, he spoke a curse upon all who are preaching another gospel. And therefore, brothers and sisters, with all seriousness, back to God, back to His word, also today, a word addressed to all who have surrendered their life to the Lord, who were converted, who received the forgiveness of their sins by faith, and who found peace with God. Today, you have the opportunity to be baptized. To be baptized biblically. And I know God touched already some hearts, and He will touch even more hearts. So, not only the first and the last, but every sermon under the leading of the Holy Spirit will contain that what the first and the last contained. So, back to the original, back to the Word of God, and time and again, the same question, what does the Scripture say? And if then some kind of thought, some kind of voice wants to whisper something and says, oh, it's not so important at all. Please reject such voices in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. The enemy will always come and he wants to whisper something to keep you from the way of obedience, and who wants to keep you on your own old way. Break away, loosen yourself with the help of God. Let yourselves be brought into agreement with God's word. And then the trouble in the spiritual realm is over. God gives just grace to it. We are summarizing what we had to say here in the name of the Lord. Everything must be established on two or three witnesses. every Bible doctrine, everything must agree with the Old and with the New Testament, with the doctrine of Jesus, with the doctrine of the apostles. For instance, just to mention this here, because it concerns the baptism. When the Lord Jesus in Matthew 28 says, and baptize them into the name, then I of course must know the name before I can baptize into the name. God is our Father, and as our Father in heaven, He revealed Himself in His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Son could say, whoever sees me sees the Father. I and the Father are one. But when the Lord says, baptize them into the name of the Father, then we of course, we at least have to read the three places in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, where the Son says, Father, I declared your name to them whom you have given me from the world. Then one has to go back to the Word of God and say, dear Lord, here you gave the commission, and then we go to Acts, to the founding day of the New Testament church. And Peter was of course present when the Lord gave the great commission. And behold, he knew that God revealed Himself as Father in heaven and in His only begotten Son on earth and in the church by the Holy Spirit. But in the one all-including name in which is all salvation, in which is all the bliss, namely, thou shalt call His name Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And brothers and sisters, so we have the revealed name of our God, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus Christ. More perfectly, it could not have said to us. And we thank God with all our heart. Time and again, what does the scripture say? How did the apostles baptize? It of course doesn't help anyone if he just reads Acts 2 verse 42 and they remained in the apostles' doctrine. First, we have to come back into the apostles' doctrine and then remaining in it, just in theory, reading something and they remained and believing what they like and doing what they like. No, beloved brothers and sisters, let us follow the Lord in obedience to His word, and the rest we leave unto Him. Also this, let us forever distinguish it. There where messengers of God are not being received, there are people who appointed themselves to rule and decide over others. In our midst, no man has to say something. Here God's word counts. Here the will of God may be done. And just let this also be said here, in all humility. But already yesterday, it was upon my heart. You all know that I appreciated the ministry of Brother Branham, that I witnessed it, and that I was really connected with him. I was the only European at his burial. But when we yesterday spoke about how the Lord commanded Moses to commission Joshua, there spontaneously I remembered my last conversation with Brother Branham, and the last words, the last question, and the last question on that parking lot in Louisville, Kentucky, before getting into his car, the last question was, Brother Branham, have I the right to pray for the sick? And his answer was, Brother Frank, everyone who was called by God to preach the gospel is called to pray for the sick, also you. And do you know what happened next? He laid hands on me before getting into his car on that parking lot in Louisville, Kentucky. For me, it was a great day. Yesterday, after a long time, I remembered it yesterday, that a man of God, and I say this in reverence before the Lord, such a ministry no apostle had until this time. It was a summary of that what God did in the Old and New Testament. The sign of the Son of Man and all the connections, which mostly are known to all of you. And no one could do what happened unless God is with him. And that to me, the least among all whom God ever called, that to me was given this great lot, not only to know this man, but to know the God of this man. Not only to know about his commission, but also to know there was a commission on the 2nd of April, 1962. And that this man, his last act, which I experienced, that he told me, he who is called to preach the gospel, he is also called to pray for the sick. And then he laid hands on me before getting into the car. Brothers and sisters, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We have the word of God as a lamp on our feet. And also these things, no man can guess, no man can plan. They are planned by God. And we are just getting a part of the plan of salvation of our God. The time is up. The Lord God bless us and be with us. Receive God's word into your heart. And he will bring everything else to pass for the glory of his name. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us stand up. Let us thank the Lord God. Let us sing Just As I Am.
So muss es sein, nicht meine Kraft, nur du allein. Dein Blut wäscht mich von Sünden rein, o Gottes Lamm, ich komm.
We are having our heads bowed. I also would like to ask today whether God's word spoke to us, whether some are here who dedicated their life to the Lord, whether some are here who wish to be baptized. Of two brethren, I know it already. Perhaps there are some more who wish to make this step of obedience and faith by baptism. As we are having our heads bowed, I would like to ask, are there some here who want to be baptized? Then raise your hands.
Drei, vier, fünf, sechs, sieben. Ja, das ist schön.
Very nice. Please come to the front. Please come now to the front. We will pray for you. How old are you? 13, you dedicated life to the Lord.
So, komm doch mal.
Come.
Ja, gern. Wen haben wir noch?
Whom else do we have? Please come to the front.
Ja. Stell dich einfach hier vorne.
So. Stand here.
Ja. Dankeschön. Komm.
Come.
Herzlich willkommen.
Be welcome. God bless you.
God segne euch. God segne.
God bless you.
God segne.
Is somebody else who wishes to come today if you hear his voice? Precious brothers and sisters, this is your day, the day which the Lord has made for you. You will never forget this day. Baptism means to make a covenant of a good conscience with God by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. According to Romans 6, we symbolically, by the immersion, we are buried with Christ because we were crucified and died with him. And the rising out from the water signifies that we, together with him, will walk in a new life. This is how God showed it to us in his word, so that you know. It is not only an outwardly act, but this act is a step of obedience, a step of faith, a step which the Holy Scripture shows to us. Do you speak German? No. Which language?
Vous parlez le français? Oui. Où se trouve un frère qui parle allemand et le français? Nous avons un frère ici qui parle deux langues. Pourquoi? Oh là là. Mais vous connaissez les Écritures? Vous croyez que Jésus est votre sauveur ici? D'accord. Merci. Merci. Ja.
So, it's a biblical act, and you can point back to this day. When the enemy tempts you, and temptations will always come, then you can say, I dedicated my life to God. I died with Christ. I was buried with him by baptism. I'm redeemed. I'm a child of God. And the enemy has to flee. You all dedicated your lives to the Lord? You dedicated your life to the Lord? Do you speak German?
Vous parlez français ou romain? C'est aussi le français? Ja? Okay, na schön. Dann haben Sie alles gut verstanden.
They understood everything. Then let us pray now. Heavenly Father, we pray for our beloved brothers and sisters that you may bless them, that you may bless the baptism, that you may bless Brother Paul Schmidt, who will administer the baptism, and that your blessing may accompany our precious brothers and sisters until they come from believing unto seeing. Blessed and praised be thou, ever faithful God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now just a few words. Remember us in your prayers. Remember all those who carry the word. And we give our brothers from South America greetings. We are especially joined with them. As the one brother said, in all the tribes, more than 60 different dialects, alone in the Amazon region, and God sends someone who is simple enough, who is humble enough, who has the time and who could learn all these dialects, at least as much as it is necessary to bring the word to these tribes. We will pray for our brothers in a special way. We ask them now to come to the front. Please come to the front. You three, come to the front. You can remain like this. Before we close, we would like to pray for our three brothers in a special way, so that God may bless them. Please come here, onto the first step here. Thank you. Please turn a bit to the congregation. Turn a bit. Thank you. You see our three brothers here. We will pray for them, that God is with them, and that the greatest, the largest country of South America, that He blesses this country, and also the brothers, and the brothers whom they are a good testimony, that He may bless them all. Here, brothers, they all know my old friends from more than 30 years ago. We spoke about it when I many decades ago brought the message to Brazil and to Venezuela, to Central America and South America. Brother Galdona, we all know Brother Calarerio and all the brothers with whom I spent, with whom I carried many, many years ago the precious word of God from country to country, also in this part of the world. And today, our brothers are here, and we will pray for them, and God will bless them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts for our brothers whom you have blessed, and you make them a blessing. Great God, may the anointing of the Holy Spirit rest upon them, the Spirit of wisdom and of grace. May it be given to them. May they find the lost. Use them, Lord. Bless all the country. Bless all of South and Central America. Bless North America. Bless the whole world. All the peoples, all tongues, and all nations. Precious Lord, and be thou with all of us. And may we learn the lessons from this weekend to only hear you and your word, and to close ourselves up to any other influence. Precious Lord, watch over us, watch over your word, and bless thy people all over the earth. In Jesus' holy name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.